All right, so on the line with us right now, Omega News is pleased to welcome our very special guest, radio personality, newsman, filmmaker, activist, hailing from the sunny slave South Pacific, Mr. Vinny Eastwood. Vinny, thanks so much for coming on the program today. It's certainly a pleasure to have you.
Oh, yeah, and at such short notice as well.
Yeah, yeah, we're certainly doing it on the fly today, and so we definitely appreciate that.
Well, that's the way we do it on the Vinny Eastwood Show every single day, completely on the fly. I think today I had some guy who invented some description of rotating magnet propulsion system / energy creation such and such that was covered up back in the 50s and what have you. And I had no idea who he was. And we wound up having three people on the call, and I wound up having a great much of a deeper insight as to who these guys are and the amazing things that their work can come into. Just by having them on, randomly, fresh.
Yeah, and sometimes doing it on the fly, impromptu, yields the most interesting results anyway. So we'll see what we can do here. But I want to talk about the alternative media, the new media, and the state of the dinosaur lamestream media. But before we do that, I understand that you have a background before you got into guerrilla media and what you do now. You were with a big telecommunications company and didn't necessarily like everything that was going on there. So can you talk a little bit about your experience with that?
Well, occasionally when you achieve basically as top as you're going to get in any given field, you suddenly lose your motivation. So for 6 months on the sales boards, you know, this is doing telemarketing, that kind of thing. So I was number one on the boards for a full 6 months. There was not a single other employee that that came anywhere near my sales records that I was pulling daily. And I was earning a decent chunk of change. And it got to the point where, you know what? What's the point now? You know, I've achieved like number one. You know, I'm just going to sit here and keep collecting money off people on the other end of a line. I don't really like that. I want to move on. I want to do something bigger and better, and I don't really want to do sales anymore. So naturally, they gave me a promotion to do another frickin' sales job.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. And so I got bored as frack, and as I do, I wrote a 7-page essay about what was wrong with the company whilst getting to know people in all sorts of different departments and things of this nature. So naturally, they took full notice of all of these different things that could improve staff retention, fasten up the training process, improve sales outputs and things of that nature. And they had about a 15-minute meeting with it, got through half of page one on the issues that were raised and said, all right, that's done. We consider the matter closed. And then they paid me $3,000 to get out of the office in 5 minutes.
Wow.
And I'm not allowed to tell people who that company was, and that was just my first experience in being a successful person, doing what I was doing, being let down by people who were, frankly, beneath me.
Yeah,
and that process got repeated twice. Once where I was basically paying $30 a week, including, you know, phone charges and travel charges, to go out and do door-to-door telemarketing sales and stuff. And another one where a real psychotic boss was calling me up at like 9:30 at night on a Friday when I'm having a few beers around at my mate's place, telling me to get up, get off the couch, find a pen, find some paper, and write down the number of a client to call on Monday. You know, and not an isolated incident at all. So I developed something that I call employophobia, a fear of being employed. And my employophobia, you know, caused me to get very depressed because I didn't know what to do with my life. And I was listening to a lot of Alex Jones at the time and watching a lot of what Luke Rakowski was doing back in the day and Charlie Veach when he was first starting to get popular. And I figured, you know, there is a lot of call for that, don't you think? Somebody out there with megaphones, cameras, doing radio shows and YouTube videos and things like that, an alternative media outlet or a new media outlet. And so me and a mate formed this company, Guerrilla Media, and then put up the website. And the website looks like crap because I was more dedicated than the person who set up the website in the first place. And for the life of me, nobody has his level of skill to unfrack what he put up. It's it's terrible website, terrible. It's so irritating, and there's nothing I can do about it. But I became pretty well known around the place because I attended most protests, and I've got the loud voice and so on and so forth, and I filmed most of these protests. Doesn't matter what it was, whether it was an anti-Israel protest after the killings of the Turkish ships and so on and so forth, mm-hmm. or water privatization protests, or 1080, which is this poison that gets dumped in our forest to kill possums. And it gets into the waterways and causes baby boys to be born with three urethras. You know, this kind of real horrible, disgusting, terrible, tyrannical stuff that's going on in New Zealand. And I realise not only have I become that mainstream alternative media source that I personally would actually want to listen to over all the other alternatives out there, because you get some of the truth, you get long-form interviews with the activists who were actually fracking there and who have spent, you know, a good proportion of their life sweating and being up late at night and having demonization of their character, having their house and personal property taken off them, being spied on and set up by intelligence agents and things of this nature, working for the New Zealand government. You talk to them for an hour, you get a geometrically more massive understanding of the way the world is and truly works, rather than a 30-second soundbite. Or in New Zealand, a 5-second soundbite of the activist saying a few words, and that's about it. I've dubbed them audio nibbles.
Yeah, yeah.
If you want to understand what's going on, basically go to the people who are at the coalface. You know, there's this woman, Penny Bright. She's every single time she sends out an email, she's always going to another council meeting and bailing them up about stuff. It's like, you ever think that one person can't make a difference? Shut yourself in a room with a mosquito all night. See how that works out for you. All right, that's what people have turned into when they get so messed around by the system that it becomes their life's mission to expose them and bring them down. And I have a lot of respect for people like that because I don't do a whole lot of that. I'm not reading the source documents and bailing up the politicians so much anymore. Instead, I'm spending the vast majority of my time giving coverage and making videos for these kind of people who don't have the ability or the resource of a radio show or the capacity to edit anything on their older computers. And, you know, some of them aren't really tech savvy, have never been on the radio before and have never had a YouTube video. Now, because of me, they've been on the radio dozens of times and have uber amounts of YouTube videos about them, all right? And this is people who would otherwise not have it. And I think that this is what the media was supposed to do all along, is find people who are exposing scumbaggery and simply do the work that they can't do themselves, of giving themselves a name, of coverage, of attention, of following, of support, something that they actually need and value. Because, hey, these people are basically putting their lives and all their fortunes and everything like that and their sacred honor on the line for us. And if you're not trying to help those people better their cause and you have a camera and the means and the time and the will to do it, you're wasting your life, son. Yeah. That was kind of like what was calling out to me. Vinny, you're wasting your life, son. Stop listening to all these other talk radio show hosts. Stop watching all these other videos and documentaries and stuff like that. You've seen and heard and watched and done enough so that now you can go out and take action.
Yeah. And what you're saying about the activists to whom you give a platform, I think your formula is really onto something, because these are people who are not bought and paid for. These are people who aren't lining up at the government trough to get their bailout. These are people who, like you say, they live and breathe it. They're not the pundits who get on TV to give the little canned sound bites. These are people who live it and who don't have an agenda other than exposing the truth. And I think your formula is really onto something, and I appreciate that. Well, for crying out loud, you had me on your show once. So, I really appreciate how you have people who wouldn't necessarily be, quote, known out there, and you give them a voice. So I appreciate that.
See, and let's think about this. You know, you've been on the same platform, the Vinnie Eastwood Show, as, say, David Icke or Gerald Celente or G. Edward Griffin or Foster Gamble or John Perkins and so on and so forth. So the platform's really open to everybody of any size and scope because the rule of being a journalist, I feel, considering I'm not a qualified journalist and don't plan to be and don't have any credibility and don't claim to have any, because if you don't claim to have any credibility, then people can never claim that you've lost any credibility. Hey, I never heard it to begin with, mate. You know, I'm just giving you my honest opinion, and I'll tell you what. There's a saying by Mark Twain. He says, "When an honest man is confronted with the truth that he's wrong, he will either cease to be wrong, or cease to be honest."
Yeah,
and I don't know about you, but I get a real buzz out of admitting when I'm wrong, because it means I no longer have to back up my argument. You can just hear, you know, it's like, oh my God, I was wrong. Thank goodness.
That can be liberating.
I don't have to keep defending myself against this person's verbal assault of my perception of reality. How goodness gracious me. Thank you very much. I'm wrong. Keep going. Teach me more.
So are you actually defending honesty in the media?
Am I defending honesty? I don't know. I suppose anybody who practices something is de facto defending it, aren't they? Because I'm not going to the media and telling them to be honest or something like that. I'm just talking to the and preaching to the converted people at protest that they are a bunch of scum, that you shouldn't need to listen to them, that even their top rated journalists in the fields, like Ian Wishart, who is a bastion of New Zealand media power here, or was back in the day before he started talking about exposing the New World Order and what have you. He says that they're all just a bunch of frickin' airheads, and the biggest thing on their mind at any point in time is their next trip to Tahiti or the latest Gucci handbag. That's it. They're vacuous, shallow vessels of misunderstanding that have no value, purpose, or place, and they do not have any inkling of real human responsibility for the actions that they take, pushing lies upon innocent and ignorant people in order to sell advertising. That is selling your soul out, is it not?
It certainly is. And I like how you say it. You say, if you don't like, I'm paraphrasing here, but if you don't like the media, don't complain about them, replace them. And I resonate with what you're saying because you look around and there just aren't that many people who are actually trying to cover real news and not the soundbite and not the Kim Kardashian and all the nonsense that is totally, what's the word I'm looking for? Non-productive. And that's what I am doing. That's why I have Omega News, the radio show. It's not because I even really want to do this that bad. It's just because I look around and I don't see that many people out there doing what needs to be done. And I say, okay, well, I'll start a YouTube channel. I'll start a radio show.
You know what's interesting is the two approaches. I look around and I see that this is missing. Somebody else will take care of it. I see you look around and there's nobody doing this. I'll take care of it. Who produces more results? The person who expects somebody to come along and save their dumb ass? Or the person who takes responsibility for saving their own ass? Okay? There was a dude trapped on the roof of a house in New Orleans during Hurricane Katrina. And he was praying to God, please, God, come and save me. Please come and save me. And then these dudes in a dinghy row up to him. And they say, hey, mate, you know, jump on the boat. We'll take you out of here. You'll be fine. And he's like, no, God will save me. And they're like, righto. And then they row on. And then the Coast Guard vessel comes blatting through the street. Hey, excuse me, sir. We need to save you. Get off the rope. You know, it's up to his ankles now on the roof of the house. And he's like, no, God will save me. And so the next thing that happens is they send a helicopter to come and save it. It's the water's up to his neck now. And they say, look, mate, we're here to save you. You know, the water's up to your neck. Come on, jump on. We'll save you. And he goes, no, God will save me. And then he drowns, a very horrible death. And he goes to heaven. And he says to God, God, why didn't you save me? God says, look, I sent a dinghy, I sent a Coast Guard boat, and I sent a helicopter. What more proof do you need?
Yeah, that's so true. It is. And the answer is so oftentimes is right there in front of us, but we don't even bother to look for it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, take advantage of everything around you. That's what I say. And of course, don't take advantage. This is a thing. Taking advantage has become like a dirty word, you know, like taking advantage of a young girl while she's drunk or something like that. It has that kind of connotation, you know?
Right.
I say taking advantage of the situation is, I see the New Zealand Prime Minister, John Key, walking right in front of me, and I incidentally have a camera in my hands, and I go up and accost him. That's taking advantage of the situation. That's asking some very tough questions that the media wouldn't be able to ask, isn't it? Okay?
It is.
That's taking advantage of the situation. And I'll try to take advantage of the situation in everybody as often as I can so that I can keep exposing scumbaggery. And what's interesting is that you don't have to actually go out and try and attack these people anymore. There's other people who go out and attack them. You just bring those people on air and tell you.
Yeah.
You know, cut out the middleman. Boom. You know, I can't be everywhere at once. I can't be exposing every Tom, Dick, and Dirty Harry out there.
True. Yeah. So, and what you're saying again, and I want to talk about a couple of things. I want to talk about infighting within the alternative media, but first, I was reading on your site today, you talk about how the media is just the personification of establishment. They can you unpack that a little bit more for us? When you say that they're establishment, I mean, is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? What do you think?
Well, the current establishment is we tell you lies because we're owned by even bigger, worse liars who are richer and scum and more prone to scumbaggery. So we give you a filtered down form of scumbaggery that is drip fed down from the top. Okay. That's not a very good establishment. The world is currently run by psychopaths, is my contention, okay? And a psychopath will be easily identified as somebody who's happy, smiley, and very enchanting when you first meet them in person, but ultimately has no depth to their character and don't have any long-lasting relationships. And you think, man, it's like every employer that I've ever had. Exactly! You know why? Because psychopaths crave two things, power and control. And the American Medical Journal states that the three most likely industries you are to find psychopaths is in business, entertainment, and politics. What would you say are the linchpins of society and its creation, of what it thinks and what it does? The people who create the laws, the people who create the entertainment, and the people who create the economy. They've got you stitched up. That's why everything seems to be really nasty, you know. Oh, I don't understand. Why would they kill all these certain people? And why would they forcibly serve us GMO food that grows us tumors the size of ourselves and makes us sterile by the third generation? And why are they deliberately dumbing down everybody? Why are they putting poisons in the vaccine? That just doesn't make sense. Therefore, it doesn't happen. No, it does make sense. It just doesn't make sense to you because you're a kind, decent, moralistic person who actually gives a frack and has empathy for other people. If you were, on the other hand, a complete sociopathic scumbaggery killer, you wouldn't have no such qualms, and you would think that this makes perfect sense. Hey, people are a plague. People are a disease. Let's kill them by every single means necessary. And I have bazillions of dollars in order to do this, to buy shares in Monsanto and fund the UN and do all sorts of other things that connote a world government presence. And I'm going to join certain clubs as well, and we're going to sit around with other ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery figureheads and kingpins. We're all going to sit there and chuckle away about how we're killing black people and how we're dumbing fat people and all this kind of thing. You know, don't you think that would be a really wonderful lifestyle if you had no morality, if you were a ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery warmonger? You know?
And you had the means to do it.
Hey, if I gave you $500 and said, go out on the town and go crazy, just go hard. You know, you might be able to blow $500 buying lots of people shots at a bar or something like that, maybe even go to a strip bar. And then I said, here's $5 billion. Go out there and achieve all new levels of debauchery. You wouldn't even be able to contemplate how much debauchery and scumbaggery you could get yourself into with the aid of $5 billion in the bank account. And there are only a few thousand of these people living on the Earth today. I think there's like 5,000 billion years or something along those lines. You know, it's trillions of dollars of wealth, far more than everybody else. You know, they're less than 1% of the population. They're like a few thousand people amidst a planet of 7 billion, and they own practically 99% of all the wealth.
Yeah.
They're out of freaking control, mate. And people wonder, you know, why do people call me a conspiracy theorist? It's logical, it's factual what I'm talking about. There's evidence for it. And so they're calling you a conspiracy theorist because that's how they associate anything that terms a conspiracy. A conspiracy is actually quite simple. Two or more people coming together to cause harm on a group and other people without that group of people knowing about it.
Yeah.
So almost everything's a conspiracy. Two guys walking down a street, one of them distracts a lady while another guy steals out of her handbag while she's not looking. Conspiracy. It's simple as that. That's why, incidentally, every single shooting has always been done by a lone gunman, so as to rule out any possibility of conspiracy.
Wow. Yeah, that's definitely... that's well said. I'm.
My definition of a conspiracy theorist is a person who believes, absolutely believes, and you can't convince them otherwise, that powerful people who have a lot of influence actually use their power and influence. That's what a conspiracy theorist is.
Yeah.
If you're not one of those on that side of the spectrum, you're on the other side of the spectrum. You're a coincidence theorist. You believe that everything in the entire planet happens by sheer coincidence. There's no such thing as lying, no such thing as bias, no such thing as manipulation, no such thing as secrecy, and no such thing as scumbaggery. Which of those two groups of people sounds more insane to you?
I would say Group B, and group, and that group has evidently no... memory of history, of tyranny, and of the fact that liberty seems to be more of a fluke of history than...
Yeah,
it's... you know what I'm saying, so...
I mean, have you ever tried to argue with a schizophrenic person who believes that you're the twin of somebody else and has replaced their identity?
I can't say that I have.
I can't say I have either, but I would imagine it would go something like this. Yeah, I'm doing another thing, and think, no, that's different, you know? You can't have a conversation with somebody who's crazy who thinks you're something that you're not, is the point. And whenever you're trying to argue with these people who accuse you of being a conspiracy theorist and accuse you of being insane, what they don't realize is they're the crazy one. Okay, the person that is actually really insane when you're walking down the street isn't the person who is holding a sign that says the end is nigh. All right, it's the person who's looking down at their shoes and thinking that they're alone in this world and doing absolutely nothing about it. They're the fucking crazy ones. Oh, pardon my French.
Oh, we'll allow that. So yeah, agreed. And they're the people that want to call you a fearmonger and that you're frightening people and all of these things, they're plugged into the matrix. And it's hard for me to be angry or upset with them because in a sense, in a sense, it's not their fault because they're having this false reality imposed upon them. And it starts with education and it's the media like we're talking about tonight. They push this false reality and they keep saying it and they keep saying it and they keep saying it. And after a while, when you hear something 1,000 times, well, gee, maybe there's some truth to that.
Actually, it's 7 times.
7 times. Okay. Well,
so this is how you spread the truth. Okay. If you're in a conversation where it might be not politic to bring up this kind of conspiracy angle to some kind of news story that they're covering, make sure that you actually say it and say something. And you can be guaranteed that about 6 other times that person will have that same conversation with somebody else, and there'll be a conspiracy theorist there who won't want to speak up because he's afraid of being judged and being called a conspiracy theorist when he should be proud of it.
I
was just thinking about, you know, the white pride, black pride, that, you know, like certain pride or gay pride, whatever. What about conspiracy theorist pride? You know? Yeah, like, or like do a 666 or something like that with your hand, like the Freemason conspiracy theorist pride.
Wow. Yeah. So can we talk a little bit about the infighting factor and about the people who are, let's just say, because amid the alternative media, there is an element that, sorry, but they're just bat, you know what, crazy. And can you talk a little bit about that and infighting and the crazy people within the the alternative media?
Well, first of all, I'd like to start off by saying I don't like infighting. It's divisive, it's a waste of time, and if anybody in the alternative media is infighting with each other, they should actually be fighting against the mainstream media, whom are their real competition for people's minds and attention spans, okay? But there is an element within the truth movement who are in a spectrum, I'd say, somewhere between criminal and somewhere between insane. All right. And there's some people who just believe things that are just completely, utterly crazy. There is no evidence for. They literally just made it up off the top of their heads and they keep spewing it out and so on and so forth. Yeah. And they emerge with these followings of people who also believe the first thing that they hear and don't know how to discern fact from fiction, who obtain a cult status so that they have an obsessive veneration for this person or this particular subject. And you see these little people all the way through YouTube comment sections and every corner of the web, just full of hate, full of spite. Anybody criticizes their hero, they come out and they attack them, they make demonizing videos of them, and so on and so forth. There's this entire psychopathic model and proto-psychopaths of the people who aren't actual you know, psychos. Well, they feel empathy and things like that, but they're just brainwashed, and they wished they were as powerful and as uncaring about human life as those that they deify, you know, sort of like, oh yes, master, I will go and gang stalk them for you. Oh my god, you know, the classical archetype of people, you know, they hang out in truck and dive truck stall men's rooms and the mouth breathers, the knuckle draggers, and so on and forth. You know, they're really dangerous people when you think about it, because they're so freaking stupid and so callous and so cruel and so... They don't have any manners. Calling you names, threatening you, insulting you, sabotaging you, telling malicious lies about you, so on and so forth. These people are not any kind of truther. Sure, they may know 9/11's an inside job, but they think the Jews did it. Or they may think that vaccines are poison, but they think it's good, and they should probably give it to about 90% of people anyway to get rid of the idiots that they hate and despise so frickin' much, just like they hate and despise themselves. You know? Suicidal, nihilistic, don't give a frack about anybody but themselves and their own bruised, little, overinflated egos. These people... Okay, here's the methodology. Block! You never hear from the motherfucker again. Okay?
I agree with that. Totally agree with that.
Facebook, YouTube, Skype all have a blessed... You know, like, I had to put my hands together and thank the gods of digital cryptography for inventing the motherfucking block button, yo. Oh, my God.
Get off me, please.
Yeah, I mean, these just parasitical digital organisms called people on the other side of the world that have an internet connection can really destroy your life if you actually spend any time with them. So, you know, it's not about being, oh, I'm too important for you. It's actually, you're a dangerous disposable napkin of a person, and I want to throw you into the rubbish bin as soon as humanly fracking possible. And I'll also take some screenshots of the threats that you put me across Skype, so if you never come up again, I'll publish those online and make you look like a demonization scrap that you are. And yeah, other than that, it's the other people that you can't get rid of. The people who are too entrenched and have too big a following to even make a dent in it kind of thing. you know?
Yeah.
You can't really destroy somebody's career if they've built their own audience themselves. That's one of the lessons of the truth movement. Like, no, people have tried to demonize me and stuff like that, but I'm still here because my audience are, I'm going to say this, the kindest, most intelligent, well-humored, and just generous, generous audience, I believe, on the web. They're so good to me, man. Every single time that I need something and I tell the and I ask the audience for something, I get it pretty much right away. And it makes me feel guilty to ask them because I know that they're trying to support their families and things like that. And then the reason they tune into this show, my show, is because they want to have a little bit of a laugh and they want to learn something interesting during the day. Because after a long day's work, you know, with a boss who sucks and fellow employees who are morons and things like that, the last thing you want to go home to is screaming and shouting. How about just a little bit of cackling so you can release some of the pressure and inject some levity, because you know, if you've got a little bit of levity, it releases the tension of your subsequent extermination.
Well, that's one way to look at it. But yeah, you pull that off, the laughing and the learning simultaneously. You pull that off in an amazing way, and that's something I really appreciate about your show. And going back to your friends who you block lovingly, it's like their personal identity is bound up in the fact that the NSA is spying on their laptop. And I've got a little bit of a message, and sorry, but I'm pretty sure the NSA doesn't care about your laptop. Just an idea. Probably bad timing making that statement since all these scandals are going on around the world, but just a thought.
Right. Well, and there's another thing, being afraid of things that aren't really there or aren't really affecting you. You know, this is the other thing. People get paranoid in this movement, and it's very easy to get paranoid because there's so much out there that's going on. Because I can guarantee you right now that this call is being recorded, it is being monitored, it is being looked over by computers at the very least, flagging for keywords and whatnot.
Right.
As is all telecommunications since the mid-90s, when the Western governments of the world bound together in a conspiracy called Project Echelon, where they agreed to spy on each other's communications, all emails, all phone calls, all everything, and keep records of up to 1 year on everybody's communications of every kind. Okay, so look at it this way. You've been surveilled this whole time, you know, for multiple decades of your life thus far. What has it prevented you from doing? What has it made you afraid of doing? Now that you're aware of it, you suddenly become afraid of it. And it's like, no, actually, you don't need to be afraid of it because it's been there the whole time and it hadn't affected you one iota. So just shed your fear of it. And I say, let the frackers watch. Let them watch. Okay, nothing could scare them more. Oh my God, sir, look at all. It's like that scene in V for Vendetta when they talk about, well, there's an 85% conversation approval rating for the terrorist known as V, Mr. Chancellor, you know? And that's what's going on here right now, man. I'm just like, I'm not going to be silent. I'm not going to stop telling the truth just because some other fracker might be listening in on the conversation. I'm doing it live on radio. People listening is the very intention of what I'm doing, you know? And then people prevent themselves from going out. They're like, oh my God, you know, Vinny, you're not having any difference. You're not challenging any establishments, are you? You know, you're accomplishing nothing. And I say, really, can you tell me exactly what I should have been accomplishing, Mr. O Accomplisher of Accomplishments? What exactly have you done? The best thing that you've done is convince yourself not to do anything. And that's your accomplishment, is you've convinced yourself that by doing nothing that you'll accomplish something. When in actual fact, you've done nothing and accomplished nothing.
Except for maybe being a shill on an internet message board. I thought I'd throw that out there.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. Haven't people got something just a little bit more important to do with their lives? Apparently not.
It would seem like it.
But I don't want to like poo-poo and talk down to these people. Well, actually, I do. There's gum. But I'm sorry. It is fun. And actually, studies have proved that bullying and name-calling makes you feel better.
Huh.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. tear down other people, so you can feel a little bit bigger.
I think it's because you suck their energy in a vampiric, sadistic way. You know?
Yeah.
And if I can vampiristically suck the energy of mainstream media scumbags who consistently lie to everybody and get paid exorbitant amount of money in $1 million studios in order to convince people that mercury is good for their kids when it gives them frickin' brain damage, I say suck away.
Yeah. True. I mean, it's unbelievable the garbage that they try and push on us as truth. Like, look at Fukushima. Who in the mainstream media is saying anything about what's really going on with that situation? Not that I've even researched it myself in too much depth, but it's really scary when you think about what could really be going on there.
How about in the weeks following Fukushima? It's a bit of a Fukushima.
It's super something.
Right, like 40,000 pounds of plutonium. You know what plutonium is named after? It's named after Pluto, the god of the underworld, because it's so fracking dangerous. And they had like thousands upon thousands of pounds of these spent plutonium fuel rods on top of the reactors that frickin' blew up.
It's unbelievable.
Okay, you're talking about so much toxicity that the world might never recover. And that's just the first thing that happened. All right, it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And I'm telling you, you don't want to be living in the Northern Hemisphere.
Mm.
Right? That's basically the long and the short of it. Or you're going to die of cancer. And
Seattle.
And your children are going to be born with defects, or your food is irradiated. Everything is completely and utterly fracked. Most people won't get it, though. Most people won't leave. They'll sit there, and just like the frog in the pot, and slowly boil to death.
Yeah. Because the way things are right now is the comfortableness that I feel and the normalcy, that's the way that it's always going to be, or at least that's the perception with the what's that word I'm looking for? Normalcy bias.
Yeah.
And am I mistaken, or did you not have how do you say her name, Tia Tequila, on your program?
Yeah.
Have you heard about what's going on with that?
What do you mean, like right now?
Well, My sister sent me a link that she had like a really bad aneurysm, and she's been out talking, like exposing the Illuminati and the music industry. Well, she had this, I don't know how bad it is, but she had an aneurysm, and people are wondering what's going on with that. If it's any coincidence, because lately she's been, you know, coming out with some of this stuff.
Yeah, oh yeah, they've tried enormous amounts of things to get to Tila Tequila. You know, she was out walking her little dog one night, and a big black SUV just kind of like starts up on the side of the road and just freaking guns it right for her, and she only just barely gets out of the way and saves a little dog with her, you know? And that's when she's just going out for jogging at night. I mean, yeah. she under big surveillance, yo, okay? The time that I had her on my show, like there's about maybe 13 different kind of mechanisms, you know, back and forths with Skype, the studio, phone lines, so on and so forth, that have to all run relatively smoothly in order for a show to go through without any technical details. And we had like 9 failures. Okay, it was ridiculous. There were times when she couldn't hear me on Skype, but I could hear her, so that's one failure. Or the other way around, that's another failure. Or neither of us could hear each other, that's another failure. Or the video drops, that's another failure. Or the Skype drops, that's another failure. Or the video freezes, that's another failure. And then we call her up on her cell phone, and that gets cut off. And then we call her up on a landline, and then that gets cut off into the point where it's so unbelievable that the local internet in New Zealand goes down exactly at the same time as well, specifically affecting the network that I'm attached to.
Seriously,
for about 45. I think about maybe 18 minutes or something in the middle of the broadcast as well.
I had no idea.
It was unbelievable. It was the most technically plagued show that I've ever seen in my entire fracking life. There's even other people who, just before having Tila Tequila on their show, have had their entire, like, 2 years of archives of their radio shows deleted off of their websites after somebody hacked in. Like,
oh my goodness.
Oh my gosh. That girl, whatever the hell she is talking about, is hurting them bad. You have any idea how big of a following she has? I've got like 7,000 YouTube subscribers round about there by now. She's got 70,000+. She's got 78,000-80,000 YouTube subscribers. When she speaks, people fracking listen. You search Tila Tequila, JPEG images on Google. It comes up with thousands and thousands of high fashion, high def freaking photos of this most beautiful girl, the first Asian cover girl for Playboy in history, okay? She's got a massive audience. And so if you are coming out with an audience of that size, which she built herself, mind you, she didn't have nobody helping her, she can make a huge impact. And indeed, she has. There have been a lot of people who have woken up to the New World Order because they used to be a Tila Tequila fan. And now they're starting to listen to people like me and this kind of content and waking up and exposing the Illuminati and the New World Order and all of their sex, drugs, and magic.
Yeah. Was the aneurysm, is that old news? Because I just heard about it. I don't know.
Had you heard about that? I can't recall specifically if this was old news. I don't know. Short answer, okay. I don't know, but
I just heard about it today.
But it sounds like old news to me.
Okay, well, fair enough. We've only got the show's gone fast. We've only got a few minutes left, but closing thoughts. Anything that's front and center on your radar screen? Any websites you want to plug?
All right. Well, I'll get the website plugging out of the way first. You want to go to gorillamedia.co.nz. And also realgorillamedia.com is the new one that we've gotten up. We're getting a number of contributors there submitting all their articles via RSS feed. So if you want to go to one place where all nice, good, credible journalists all hang out together and post all their material, go there. And also my radio website, we put up the archives every single day with famous and infamous people. Go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question, and Eastwood isn't go ahead, make my news.
There you go.
And in terms of issues of the day, you know, I just think people got to start caring a little bit more about each other. Really, at the end of it. If you're sitting around being angry with other people all the time and trying to tear others down, you don't build anything up, least of all yourself. Stop doing it. If you've got time to hate people, then you've got time to help people. Get off your ass.
Fair enough. Well, we at Omega News, we certainly appreciate the Vinny Eastwood Show. You're an amazing talent. We love having you on. It's been a privilege to listen to you. I just enjoy listening to you talk, and feel free to stop by anytime. And thanks for being on.
Thanks, man. Really appreciate it.
Take care.